Hey, this is Jay Young with King Operating. Have you ever considered paying less money in taxes? Would you like to do what the wealthy do and invest in oil and gas? Go on our website, kingoperating.com, and get my book about our model, ADD, Acquire, Develop, and Divest, or call our number 214-420-3000 to talk to somebody today about investing in oil and gas and saving money on your taxes.
The Jay Young Show is a weekly podcast featuring insightful discussions with anyone from big business CEOs, celebrities, to military heroes. Each interview is a personal conversation about business, life, and anything in between. And now, your host, Jay Young.
Hey, everybody. It's another episode of The Jay Young Show. Thank you so much for showing. My name is Jay Young, CEO, founder of King Operating. King Operating obviously is the sponsor of our program today. And I get a lot of great guests, and I get a lot of great people that come in and talk about their industry and what made them who they are today, and what paths or what journey did they take. Because a lot of times, we want to know, for these high school students, the first one or two years in college, what happened and where did you go and what path did you go on for your success? Now, there's a lot of people out there, and I'm only picking the cream of the crop here. So pay attention to these people because, man, they know what they did. They know what they should have done. It's all not roses. I mean, Gray's going to be here in just a minute, and we're going to talk about that. It's not all roses, but it turned out very well for him. So first of all, Greg Learman, thank you very much for coming on the show today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Greg is one of those, he lives in Austin. I mean, he's in real estate. He's a lawyer, 1031s. We'll talk about all that stuff. But first, Greg, thanks for coming on and just kind of tell us a little bit about yourself growing up.
Well, I grew up in Fort Worth, actually Richland Hills. And when I was a kid, my brother was 5 years older than me. And December of 1969, we were sitting there in our den in Richland Hills. We were watching UT play Arkansas for the national championship. And we were down, and then James Street threw a bomb on 4th and 3, and that's about the only pass we threw all year. And we won the national championship. It started snowing. It was my brother's birthday. He was 5 years older than me, rooting for UT, and I decided I'm going to UT based on that. So.
Wow. So high school in Fort Worth, and then you decided, and you have the little keep calm and hook 'em in the background there. Do those go together? Keep calm and hook 'em. I've never seen a UT fan that's calm and hook 'em.
I don't know where we got that, because that does not apply at all. No, there's no keeping calm.
Yeah. What in high school, did you take any classes that had anything to do with real estate or being a lawyer?
Just took all the advanced classes. I just liked school and liked learning and liked doing well. So I did well at it. So I just took all the advanced classes. And then, like I said, I went to UT for the non-glamorous reason of liking the football team. And I majored in accounting because my brother did that too. And so I took accounting course after accounting course after accounting course. All of a sudden, halfway through my senior year in college, it suddenly dawned on me the last thing I wanted to be was an accountant. So the second non-glamorous thing I did was my decision to go to law school was based on I didn't want to be a CPA. So at the last second, I applied to law school and got in. Matter of fact, I took the LSAT the morning following a Friday night game between UT and A&M. So that was kind of crazy too. I didn't stay home and study. I went to the football game anyway. So I got into law school and I got out, and I practiced law in Fort Worth with a really good firm, Shannon Gracie, from 82 to 87. And then about the third thing that dawned on me is I wanted to use my accounting and legal background more in a business setting. As opposed to writing down every 15 minutes what I was doing and figuring out who to bill for my time. I wanted to get into business. So friend of mine ran a title company, Dallas Title, and his in-house lawyer was leaving. I said, man, I want to get into business. He said, you come and get in the title business. And I did that. Then he left. I became the president of Dallas Title. And then Stewart Title bought us out. In the early 90s, one time I was in Arlington at some realtor happy hour, and a couple of real estate agents said, Greg, why don't y'all do 1031s? They said,
what year was this, Greg?
That was like in 91, 92.
Wow, 91, 92. Okay.
Yeah. So these realtors said, y'all need to do 1031s. We have investors. They sell real estate all day long and they never pay taxes. And I thought, well, I've got an accounting degree and a law degree. Why do I not know what a 1031 is? Now I know why. And that's because it is a very narrow niche. There's a very tiny universe of people in the whole country who really specialize in 1031s. The reason it was such a blessing that those realtors urged us to do 1031s, it was two things. Number one, it told me this was a real world deal that made a difference for people. Number two, it said, Greg, you got to keep your eyes open. You got to look for the chance to start doing this. Now, I was busy. I had 85 employees. I was running Dallas Title, you know, a bunch of closing offices. So I knew we needed to do 1031s. I had no ability to actually make that happen. Stewart Title is a worldwide organization, about 6,000 employees. It wasn't my job to get us into 1031s. So in 93, when Stewart Title announced they bought one of the two biggest 1031 companies in the nation, I hit the ceiling with excitement. So that's what was so good about those realtors telling me how good 1031s were, is that when we had a chance to get into it, I jumped at this chance to do it. So I shifted from running closing offices to doing 1031s in October of 94. So next month, that'll be 26 years ago. And I've loved it ever since. This is all I do. It's still a blast.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. 26 years ago. So you've been doing this for knowing everything there is to know about 1031s.
And it's still interesting. Still wow. Interesting.
Wow. Yeah. What's some of the biggest deals you've done?
Well, now the biggest deal we've done as a company was a $500 million oil and gas deal, actually. It's all, you know, it's variety. I thought this was all commercial deals before I got into this, like everybody has about the same top 10 myths and misunderstandings about 1031s. One is most people think this is just for big commercial deals. Well, no, this applies all the way down to a residential rent house. And I love that because we work with everybody. We help beginning investors get a leg up, because after they've owned a rent house for a while, they can sell it and buy two of them. And then when they sell two, they buy four. So I love helping people like that. So not only does it go all the way down to a residential rental legally, because they qualify for 1031 treatment. And I know we'll explain more what 1031s are in a minute. The fee schedule, we accommodate everybody. We don't just charge big bucks to the top 1%. The way our fee schedule works, we charge everybody just $1,000 because we earn interest. So it's a win-win. We only charge people $1,000. We make more than $1,000. So everybody wins, and we can afford to help the person selling one residential rental not pay taxes. So it's a very fulfilling thing to do, to share this information with people. Most people still don't know what this is and how they can benefit, and they get excited when I tell them. So that's why I still love doing this after 26 years. Every day I'm sharing information with people that they cannot believe and they're excited about. It's pleasant. Almost all of it involves pleasant surprises to people.
Wow. Wow.
It's all across the board.
Yeah.
We go with the market. We help whatever market type is hot at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you would expect that, with the new COVID things, which I do want to talk about that for a second, because, I mean, man, you and your family had COVID-19.
Yeah, we all got it. We were very careful. And, early on, we quit going anywhere. We would just go out less than a week, only go to the grocery store with a mask. And yet we all got it. And all we can all we can figure is the one exception we made is both of our sons are lawyers, and one of them is a lawyer in LA, and he actually flew here fairly early on, and he never knew that he had COVID. He never got tested positive, but all we can figure is somehow maybe he carried it with him. So we all got it, and I'm very glad we did, because see, now we're past it. I know they don't know everything about the immunity, but we've been tested big time by top people at UT, and even the U.S. Army is involved in a study that University of Texas is doing, and their doctors actually came to our house. It's unbelievable, and they've been testing us, and they said that we are so high on the scale of antibodies that they feel very confident about our immunity lasting as long as it can. Again, they don't know everything about it, but
wow,
we are very high on the antibody scale. So we're actually glad we had it, even though it was pretty hard on me, and it was even harder on my wife.
Yeah.
It was rough for me, pretty rough for about 2 weeks. It was rougher for her, and it was 3 weeks for her. And the final thing is, when I recovered, I fully recovered. When she got to where she basically was recovered after 3 weeks, she had a symptom that lingered for another 3 weeks.
Oh, wow. So
she only got about 90%. When she got well, she only got 90% well, and then she had 10% more for about 3 weeks. And what it was she kept kind of sucking for air. Her breathing, her head would kind of, you know, jerk back, but she was having to work harder to take a breath.
Wow.
That was good. So we...
Man, thank God everything's good now.
Oh, yeah. It's great.
Food, everything's good now. Mm-hmm. Hey, so let me ask you, what do you think about real estate? I mean, how's this going to affect... I mean, I can always, you know, say what I feel, but, you know, you being so close, Austin is just, I mean... grown like no tomorrow. I mean, there's hotels, yeah. there's office buildings. I couldn't believe it. I was there February, volleyball stuff, and I could not believe. How's this going to affect, in your opinion, the real estate market?
Yeah, and I saw you over at the Van Zandt Hotel.
Yeah, we were there. Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, well, there's several things. So, you know, I'm one of the lucky ones they talk about aren't really affected because I've always been able to do my job anywhere. We already had a pretty remote business. My business has always been by cell phone and email anyway, with the exception of I'm either anywhere I want to be in the world answering calls on the cell phone or I did do a lot of live presentations in person. So, the only part of my business that's been affected at all is, of course, the live presentations have been paused, but we went straight to Zoom. March 12th was the last meeting I went to, and all of a sudden, bam, everybody stayed home. For about 2 weeks, it was like nothing changed. My calls were the same. All of a sudden, they did stop, but only for like 4 or 5 weeks. For about 4 or 5, 6 weeks, our business was down like 50%. It never went away totally. Besides that, after just about 4 or 5 weeks, it's all back. It's all back from a quantity standpoint.
Yeah.
It's not the market, the property types have shifted, but the, thank goodness the quantity has all come back. We're already at pre-COVID levels. The property types have changed some. What happened was now residential is going crazy, which is, again, that's fine. That's good that we always had that bread and butter, that we don't just work on the top 1% already. So residential has become an even higher percentage, which is fine. Farms and ranches are going strong. Of course, industrial is going crazy. So, of course, everybody knows what's dropped is, hospitality and office. So things have shifted some, and most anybody in real estate knows, I guess, the property types that have been hurt. and those that haven't. But I can tell you the good news is, for numbers of transactions, we have totally gone back to pre-COVID levels. For a while, the government did give an extension. We get a lot of questions about, is there an extension due to COVID? There was. From in early April, the government issued an extension. I think it was for all code sections. I know it affected 1031s. If you had a deadline, there's two deadlines that you deal with 1031s. And if you had a deadline coming up between April 1st and July 15th, the government extended it to July 15th. So if you had a deadline coming up April 15th, you got an extension all the way to July 15th. Now, if you had an extension, if you had a deadline coming up July 14th, it just got extended by one day, which is unprecedented. In the past, anytime extensions have been granted, like for hurricanes and floods and tornadoes, it always had been every deadline was extended for 120 days. This was very unusual. This just said, if you got something coming up between April 1st and July 15th, we'll give you to July 15th. Okay, that's over. We get a lot of questions. Are there any new extensions on the horizon? The answer is no. Okay, there's no more extensions on the horizon. But people already, as you know, people already were buying real estate and oil and gas remotely. They didn't go touch it, especially with 1031s. 1031s are for selling business or investment real estate. It's not for selling your home where you and your, you know, your spouse and your kids are going to be emotional about, and they've got input, you know, and they've got all these requirements. 1031s, it's an income stream. It's an income off of minerals, off of oil wells. It's income off of a Dollar General, a Walgreens. And so even before COVID, thank goodness, so many 1031s were done on properties that the person never saw anyway. So long story short, for a lot of reasons, COVID has not hurt 1031s overall. It has just hurt certain property types, and other ones are going even more crazy to offset it.
That's great. And I'm going to tell you that we're very optimistic about oil prices going forward. I mean, I know that they're, you know, $30, $40 a barrel right now, which is okay. I mean, we're not really concerned about the price of oil until we sell. I mean, it's like an apartment complex or a hotel or a building. You know, all we care about is how can we raise equity to go in and increase the value while prices are low. You know, until the end of next year, we look to have a sell by the end of next year. Mm-hmm. So somebody doing a 1031 exchange and you know, Greg Learman, you can look him up, Asset Preservation, which I know I didn't mention your name of your company earlier, but you can, if you Google Greg Learman, do you have to put in UT, or can you just put in Hook'em? Greg Learman Hook'em?
Any of them.
Anyway, so if you put in Greg Learman Hook'em, I you'll get 1031 all day long, but it's, you know, talking about how do you increase the value today? You know, I mean, increase the value while prices are low. Take advantage of it, increase the value, because, you know, we're looking to have that exit at the end of next year in this oil field. And mm-hmm. it's going to be about whatever the price is. I mean, it's kind of like real estate. You know, if all of a sudden we're buying real estate in a specific place and we're buying warehouses. Right now, industrial real estate is huge. Yeah. Everybody's buying industrial, you know, like the Amazons and things. So
yeah,
if I go into a place in let's say South Dallas, and I'm picking up some industrial real estate, and then all of a sudden Amazon goes, hey, you know what? We're looking at Dallas. Well, man, what happens to that price per square foot?
Mm-hmm.
It increases dramatically. And that's, if you bought it in 2020, and then you're going to sell it in 2021, and Amazon comes in and goes, hey, guess what? We're looking at Austin or Dallas, or what? The price goes up. It's the same thing with our asset. You know, we prove up as many barrels as we can while prices are low. So when we go to sell at the end of next year, if oil is at $40 a barrel, that's a 2X on your investment. You know, 2X at $40 a barrel. Now, we think that oil prices will be at, you know, $60 to $80 a barrel because of the price of oil, the shortage of drilling rigs and declines and all this. Well, if oil is at $60 to $80 a barrel by the end of next year, that's a 3X to 4X return for people to put in. So yeah. if I'm looking to do a 1031, and let's just say that if I have a building and I'm going to exit a building after having it for X number of years, and I have a $3 million profit. If I buy the building for $2 million, I sell it for $5 million, I've got a $3 million profit. What do I do at that time besides put in Greg Lehrman, hook them, right? Put in, you better make sure you hashtag that because I think you may get a few hits with the followers. But so I do that and I say, Greg, I've got a $3 million profit, and I call you because if I put the money in the bank, I pay taxes immediately, right?
Exactly.
But I call you and I say, okay, Greg, I'm going to give you my $3 million bucks. You're going to put your $3 million or whatever the amount is, the $3 million profit.
Yeah.
You're going to put that, and then I'm going to hold that with you because in asset preservation, you're my qualified intermediary. Mm-hmm. You're Greg Lehrman, qualified intermediary. You hold my $3 million. And then I have 45 days to make a decision on what I want to invest in with that $3 million profit.
Mm-hmm.
I have 45 days.
Yeah.
And it could be another office building. It could be any other type of like-kind exchanges. And we have the King Operating DST. We say, hey, you know what? Diversify out. Energy is a great diversification. We're going to increase the value and divest. At the end of next year, we're going to divest either half of it or all of it, which is it'd be great for you. And then we'll scale it. But our scale it and sell it model is just like, you know, real estate, but our project is on steroids. When prices are low, moving higher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't want to be in oil at $100 a barrel and then it go to 40.
Mm-hmm.
Not good.
Yeah.
You know, we did business a long time ago, me and you, at when natural gas prices were at $9, $10, $11 a thousand, and then the prices went down to $2, $3. Well, those mm-hmm. checks go way down.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So yeah. Not good for the investor. That's why at $40 a barrel, we feel like it's such a great buy down here.
Yeah, and that's the biggest surprise, you know, that I have for people. The biggest surprise. It's a big enough surprise to most people, even many CPAs and lawyers, that residential rentals in Florida are like kind to an office building in Los Angeles. That's a big enough surprise to most people, even their advisors. The biggest surprise is even way beyond that. And that is that rent houses or apartments or anything else, office buildings, are actually like kind to minerals. That's the biggest surprise to most property owners and most CPAs and most attorneys, that an apartment complex is like kind to oil and gas in the ground. It's because of that crazy word. That's just a wrong word, just a misnomer, is like kind. A like kind is just a word. It doesn't mean what it says. And that's why people get confused, because these are called like kind exchanges. So you defer the tax when you sell business or investment real estate. If you buy what they call like kind property, it's not like kind. It's any real estate, which includes minerals, that's in the United States that the person was holding for use in their business or for investment, is like kind to any other brick and mortar or minerals in the U.S. that the person's going to hold for investment or run their business out of. So I had someone sold half their minerals in the Permian Basin and bought an office building in Manhattan. And that is black and white like kind. It's just unbelievable. But it's a lot more common to go the other way. The biggest trend with 1031s, and oil and gas is a part of it, is to go from anything that's high maintenance real estate and go to no maintenance real estate. So that's the biggest trend. And oil and gas is the biggest trend within that subset of selling apartments. You're tired of apartments. You got three choices. If you don't want to maintain the property, but you don't want to make Uncle Sam your partner and start over by handing over a bunch of your profits to Uncle Sam, you got three choices. You buy a triple net lease property, or you can buy what's called a DS, you know, well, DST, like you're talking about, or oil and gas, whether it's royalties or a DST. So that is the most novel concept, and the biggest trend is to sell high maintenance real estate, and specifically buy minerals.
Okay. Yeah, that's great. That's great. I'll tell you what, I mean, that's exactly what you know, people are going to look for in this marketplace. And I feel like that, you know, I don't know if everybody's going to come back to the office. And when there's a lot of lease renewals, are they going to want as many square feet as they had before?
Yeah.
Are they going to, you know, say, okay, well, we don't need all that overhead in our office space. Mm-hmm. We can have, you know, cubes for people to come in once or twice a week is to kind of say hello and kind of pick up a few things. But other than that, man, they can work remotely.
Yeah.
And so they don't need that. Well, that's what I'm saying is the price per square foot, in my opinion, is going to go down and the price oil is going to go up. Now, at the end of next year, when oil is at $60 or $80 a barrel, I'm not going to be saying, hey, it's at $80 a barrel. I think it's going to 140. I won't be saying that. Mm-hmm. But at 40, I will say that I think it's a great buy. Mm-hmm. So Greg, I want people to understand that you know, you've been in this business for a long time. You're an attorney. You have an accounting background. That asset preservation is a great place to go to do that 1031, because I mean, y'all do how many 1031s does asset preservation do a year?
So right now we're doing about 700 a month. And in our lifetime, in our company's existence, we've done over 180,000. And yeah, it's important for you to know that when you call me, you're not just dealing with me. I mean, I'm a good guy and I know what I'm doing, but I still wouldn't recommend just dealing with an individual, because if you're just dealing with me as an individual and I die or something happens, then you got problems. I work for, like I said, one of the biggest companies in the country. And the reason people use us, I would throw out names, but I really don't have their authorization. There are people that own major sports teams, I'll put it that way, who use us because we're owned by Stewart Title. And so they know their money is secure. There are people in this business who are just one or two person shops. And unfortunately, there are individuals who have just kind of walked off with their client's money in the middle of a 1031. It's public knowledge. American Greed did a whole episode on one of the largest examples of that, because, you know, it was situations where people have hired a qualified intermediary that was just a one or two person shop that wasn't backed by anybody. And then they just kind of walked off with the money. So one of the three reasons people use us is their money's secure. We've done 180,000 of these. We've had zero claims for one penny. So mainly it's the safety. The other two reasons are our service and how much we know and how fast we do it.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah. I didn't know that Stewart Title owned you guys.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's great.
There's no rule that a QI be owned by anybody with any kind of backing.
Right.
The people that learn that say, okay, well, if there's no rule for that, that means I got to put my own rule in place. I'm going to do my own due diligence and only hire people with the right kind of backing. Because just because someone calls themselves a qualified intermediary doesn't even mean they're qualified, you know? So, right. So like kind doesn't mean like kind. It really means if you like that kind, buy it. I love that. This guy in Durant, Oklahoma coined that phrase. Wow. Yeah. And then qualified intermediary doesn't mean qualified. It just means someone independent. So you got to qualify your own qualified intermediary, or you're just taking your chances.
I was looking into it one time wondering, what do you have to do to be a qualified intermediary? And yeah. I mean, there's really not, I mean, you have to go to school. There's no license. There's no long, you know, so it's kind of, but anyway, go with somebody you can trust and it's going to hold your money. and has no claims against them, which is Greg Learman Asset Preservation, which is, that's awesome. Good for you. Good for you.
Thanks.
Hey, let's wrap up. But I want to ask real quick, you know, what is it that you listen to? What is it that you, so is there anybody that motivated you, was a mentor that helped you along the way of your journey?
You know, recently I've actually gotten into a guy named Grant Cardone.
He's Cardone, man, absolutely.
Yeah. So that's been my most recent, because yeah, early on it was pretty much just kind of do it myself. Didn't really have a mentor. I've learned it. So one thing you mentioned earlier, what would you do differently? Probably ask more questions. Probably I put too much on myself to figure everything out on my own. And I would encourage people, if they're younger people out there kind of getting started or whatever, would be to ask more questions. If you don't know something, find out and acknowledge it to people that can help you. So it took me a while to kind of work my way through that and find my niche. I'm kind of got lucky, like we all do. You just kind of work your way around and just then things happen. But I really didn't look to mentors early on in my career. It's been very recently that I've started doing that more. And I've got to say, this 10X guy, Grant Cardone, he's pretty cool. And so I'm an old dog learning new tricks. I never stop learning. And I've probably learned more in the last year than I have my whole life. I decided I didn't want to be one of these people that lets technology leave them in the dust. I've learned more, like I said, just in the last year or two. And this guy, Cardone, has helped a lot. I kind of laugh because he's such a character. He's not shy, but that's it.
Yeah, well, that's great. I mean, because you got to keep your mind fresh. And in days like the COVID coming in, and I mean, man, it's like everybody's got to start all over again. I mean, you can't just go back to doing the same thing that you were doing before because, hey, man, those things don't work.
Absolutely.
So anyway, Grant Cardone's. So who's Grant Cardone's number two guy? His right hand man? Who is it?
You know, I don't know. He's got a few.
Jared Glant.
Yeah.
So right. Jared.
Yes.
Look at episode number 50 on the Jay Young Show.
Oh really?
Jared Glant is number right. 50 on the Jared Glant Show. Yeah.
I mean, great. Yes, I mean, I have to say this.
I meant to add something right before because, you know, we said a few choice words, you know, because of the language barrier. So listen to that as your own, you know, knowledge that, hey, you know what, we may have said a few. And then the week after that, I had Dr. Jack Graham from Prestonwood on my Jay Young Show. So, man, I mean, kind of all over the place here, but Jared Glant, great guy, man. He tells the story, tells the Cardone story. I guarantee you, Greg Lerman's going to listen to
that is great.
Episode
that's great.
50. Oh, he's a great guy, man. We got along really good.
Well, that's neat. Well, that brings up a good point. So people can look. How do people look up your episodes?
Yeah. I'm on the Spotify, and I was just doing the if you look at it here, you know, you look at. You know, the Apple right here on the Apple podcast,
yeah,
right there. You know, I've done 55 episodes, no, 65 episodes so far.
Okay.
And so I'm on there. Now we'll do this on YouTube Live. At some point, we'll bring it out YouTube Live, and we'll also do the LinkedIn Live. We're trying to do the LinkedIn Live. We'll do the Spotify. We'll do the Apple. We do everything, right? So. We'll have you on as soon as possible. I've had some great, great people on, and I'm really thankful for that. I'm really thankful too that I get the opportunity to and to get to know some of these people better, because it's people like Greg Learman that you know help us learn. I mean, man, here's Greg going, I don't know everything. I need to continue learning. How do I continue learning? And he's popping in some Cardone, man. The Cardone guy's great, right?
Yeah,
but it's always, we know it. We've been there. There's not anything. There's probably 80% of the things that he said we've learned before.
Yeah,
but it's using them today.
Yeah,
being excited about them and using them to get the results we want.
Yeah,
you know. So man, that's the most important. You know, if we know everything about a test before we're going into class, but we don't study it and don't use it, then we've got to get the right results, you know? So, you know, that's the thing. So Greg, man, I'll tell you what, this has been a great show, man. You've been really good.
No, I appreciate it. And, you know, I don't know, I'm sure there's some people listening here that have never even heard about a 1031. I don't know if we actually covered the guts of it, but yeah, it's where you sell business or investment real estate, including minerals. You defer the tax and you can defer it forever. Some people say, why do a 1031? You're just kicking the can down the road. Yeah, you can kick the can down the road until you literally kick the can, in which case you never pay the tax.
Kick your last can. You kick that last can.
Well, guess what happens when you die? Your heirs get a new basis. Capital gains goes away forever.
Wow. So, That's great. And there's so much more to know. And to go on your website to find Greg Learman, Asset Preservation, Greg Learman will get you there and ask him more questions about this specifically about, hey, can I go into real estate? We're going from, that's a great example of somebody doing minerals in West Texas to doing an office building in Manhattan.
Yeah.
Wow. And there's people probably doing the same opposite, you know, doing real estate and then going into minerals. You know,
about 1,000 times more. Yeah, it's about 1,000 times more doing that. Going from high maintenance brick and mortar to minerals, and they never have to leave their home. They could become incapacitated, and their share of the profits are just wired to their bank every month.
That's awesome.
Or when it sells.
That's awesome. Absolutely.
And then you can do another 1031 or not.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, hey, everybody. I want to thank Greg again for coming on the show. You've been really great. And it's really great to get to know you better, which is what I know that, I know you real well, but I've known you for years, but it's always great to get to know you better. And the thing that I admire the most about Greg, I mean, he's a hard worker. He has put himself in a position to where, man, he is very well known for 1031s. And he has they do a lot of transactions. How many? 700 a month?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's a lot. I mean, I know you guys have a lot of offices and all, but man, that is just really, really good. And if we can help you with any of your 700 a month, we'd love to be there for you because we're obviously, you know, in the business of increasing the value of assets while this downturn, oil prices go up. We're excited about that. But anyway, thank you very much for showing up today, Greg. I really do appreciate you and also appreciate everybody that tuned into the show. Go on kingoperating.com, asset preservation, learn more about 1031s, Greg Learman, hook 'em. And man, everybody have a great day, and we'll see you here again next time.